Well, welcome everyone. This is Duke Clark, and this is my podcast for Stories for Joshua. We are on day 15, Family Taking Care of Family. There is no handbook, there are no formal rules, but in the South and some other places around our great country, family just takes care of family. The McIntyres were a big family, and as with all big families, there were jealousies, bickering, and attitudes, but at the end of the day, you're still family, and no one outside the family had better mess with the family. When Debbie and I were young, we spent a lot of time with Daddy's family because that's what he wanted. I loved the Clark family, and they were always good to me, and I'll tell you more about them later. But during this time, we saw Mama's family only occasionally. After the divorce, it was the total opposite. The Thurston family consisted of my cousins Kay and Ken, Aunt Ellen, who was Mama's sister, and Uncle Kent, the one who took me dove hunting. Nana, my grandmama on my mama's side, lived in the same town of Whiteville. So with Ken being about my age and Mama wanting to connect with her mama and family, we went to Whiteville a lot. I give you all this background to explain that my Uncle Kent started including me in things that he did with his son Ken, family taking care of family. One time they asked me if I wanted to go duck hunting with them, and of course I said, absolutely yes. I knew a little more about ducks and geese than I did doves at the time, so it was all good. They picked me up in Greenville and said we were going to go to Lake Matamuskeet. Now, Lake Matamuskeet is the largest natural lake in North Carolina. It's pretty shallow. It's a coastal lake at only a couple of feet deep at most places, but it stretches 18 miles long and 7 miles wide and lies on the Albemarle Pamlico Peninsula, and it is a haven for waterfowl. This was a real treat for me because I'd never done anything like this. They picked me up and we headed out to what ended up being a duck hunting guide operation. They fixed our meals, they gave us cabins right on the lake to sleep in, they cleaned our birds when we got back, they sent a guide and his dog with us out to the duck blind and stayed with us all day. It was a first-class operation all the way, and I was along for the ride. On the way down to the lake, Uncle Kent stopped at a gas station, but he didn't pull in to get gas, which I thought at the time was kind of strange. But then we went around back, and there was a little shack serving oysters. Now, picture this. You walk through the door, and there's only sawdust on a dirt floor. Low lighting, a bar with bar stools was the only thing in there, and a guy behind the bar steaming and shucking oysters. Oysters and beer, that's all that was on the menu. Full peck or half peck of oysters was what was available. A peck can vary anywhere from 24 to 26 oysters, and they come in a big pail or a bucket. The guy behind the bar shucked them right in front of you. You could get them steamed or raw. I forget what Uncle Kent ordered. And I don't think Ken and I were interested at the time, so we didn't have any. But if I were there today, load me up. Now, if you've never eaten raw oysters, let me just say it's an acquired taste. The color and texture can't really be described without being a bit gross, so sometimes people just swallow them whole. But steamed oysters, now that is something else. So good. So very good. Kent finished his oysters and we went on to the camp. Ken and I listened to a Carolina basketball game on the radio before we went to sleep. A lot of the McIntyre family went to the University of North Carolina and graduated from there, and later my cousin Ken went there as well. They got us up very early the next day, fed us, packed a lunch, and then we were taken out on the lake. It's been well over 50 years since that day, and I can still see it in my mind. We were in a small boat, just the three of us, a guide and his dog. The guide was a burly man, rough around the edges, as they say, and maybe a few teeth missing. But as we pulled out, he's sitting in the back running the outboard motor in the back of the boat, and he reaches down into this ice-cold water, scoops up a handful, splashes it all over his face, and just kind of laughs. I guess he was waking up or trying to feel alive. I don't know which. Picture this massive lake, the sun just coming up on the horizon, and literally thousands, and I mean thousands, of ducks and geese and other waterfowl everywhere flying around. It was breathtaking. Being on the water in freezing temperatures may have also added to the breathless state I was feeling, but that's duck hunting. The worse the weather, the better the hunt. We reached our blind, got set up while the guide put out decoys and got ready. My feet were already frozen, but I wasn't about to complain. The guide used his duck call, and by the end of the day, we had several kills, which the poor dog had to jump in the icy water and retrieve, but I don't think he really minded. We took our boat back at the end of the day, and they dressed our ducks, and we headed back to Greenville. This was one of the first times I had ever seen a father and son do things together that were fun. And while that may be the norm for most people, it was a very unique experience for me, and one that I deeply appreciated.